Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome to the third hour of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck. Clay and I are looking at the latest coming out of Afghanistan right now. 19,000 people evacuated from Kabul Airport in the last 24 hours. Time running short. Some sources saying between 4,000 and 5,000 U.S. citizens remain in Afghanistan. Others saying more than that. Meanwhile, today we had Nancy Pelosi getting upset at a couple of members of Congress, one Republican, one Democrat, who went on an unsanctioned flight to Kabul to bring back images of exactly what's going on there and the situation as it is actually unfolding. Here was Biden yesterday saying that we are on pace maybe to finish by August 31st.
On evacuation, we agreed that we will continue to close cooperation to get people out as efficiently and safely as possible. We are currently on a pace to finish by August the 31st. The sooner we can finish, the better. Each day of operations brings added risk to our troops, but the completion by August 31st depends upon the Taliban continuing to cooperate and allow access to the airport for those who were transporting out, and no disruptions to our operations.
Entirely reliant on the Taliban letting us do this. I mean, this is Taliban permission required for the evacuation of U.S. personnel to continue. The security of U.S. personnel getting to the airport is in the hands of the Taliban. It's remarkable, Clay. I mean, if they decided they were just going to start taking hostages, what we could do about it in the short term is almost nothing. I mean, it would be a disaster. This is the situation the Biden administration's in. It is mind-blowing.
20 years, nearly to the day after 9/11, we are in a situation where we have completely given control of Afghanistan and of American policy in that country to the people who allowed Al-Qaeda to be based in their country and attack us. Think about how staggering that is. We spent $2 trillion in Afghanistan of yours and mine and Buck's and all of you out there listening, all of our tax dollars, $2 trillion to find ourselves a generation after 9/11 where we have elevated the Taliban to such an incredible position that they now control everything in that country, including what we're able to do and not do.
Of our friend Joey Jones with us now. He is a Marine Corps veteran. He was wounded as an EOD tech, Purple Star, a Purple Heart recipient, and he's a Fox News contributor, Fox Nation as well. Joey, great to have you, man. Thanks for being with us.
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me on. I was taking a call from James Mattis for a minute, so I didn't have a chance to call in right away. I apologize.
What did he have to say? Let's you know, tell us what your buddy, the former 4-star general James Mattis, had to say about the circumstance.
You know, for him, it's he's not going to call and give strategy updates, but he wanted to make sure that the men he served with who sacrificed knew that their sacrifice wasn't for nothing, and that's really important to him. And so he took the time to call me, and I would really respect him for that. And, he's a Marine Corps general, and nobody needs to read too far to know what he thinks about it. I think he would have probably been the one that says, let's leave a contingent of, 4,000 U.S. troops, and I think we had 8,000 allied forces on the ground there with us. So when we report that number, we don't really give the whole number. And that's his perspective. I can't tell you I fully agree with it, but I think it's honest and genuine and for the right reasons.
Joey, what do you think about what's going on right now? I mean, just give us your overview as somebody who was out there as up close and personal with this enemy as one could possibly be.
Yeah, I think I think you couldn't mess this up anymore. And it didn't need to be this way, which I know everyone says that. And it's almost cliche now, but it really infuriates me. I know what it's like to go in and take a town. I know what it took to take, to have Bagram, to take some of these cities that we evacuated, to build an embassy. I know the blood it took to do that and to evacuate it in a way that literally, I think really, here's a semantics problem for you. You're calling a withdrawal an evacuation, but not acknowledging why it's an evacuation. I mean, think about that word. I mean, what do you evacuate? You evacuate hurricanes. You evacuate natural disasters. You evacuate a building that is on fire. If you're quitting a war, you withdraw. And so I think even when the White House comes out and they use that term, and then they act like they're proud of the fact that they've been able to airlift tens of thousands of people out in an evacuation circumstance without acknowledging the fact they created that circumstance, is beyond infuriating. It makes me wonder, to those men and women serving now, like how they must feel if something like this happens anywhere else, they have to go in and calm a situation, you know, how they're going to be taken care of just to get home.
Joey, I think that's a fantastic question, and it leads, first of all, thanks for coming on with us. Second, it leads into what I was going to ask you. Having been there, what do you think the soldiers still in Afghanistan are thinking as they are there at Kabul airport trying to enforce a perimeter, seeing the chaos, the insanity that is around them? What are going through the minds of those soldiers right now?
They're probably looking over the wall going, man, I hope that's not a mortar I see in the air. Oh, that was a bird. Thank God. I mean, they're probably, many of them are probably having that exact experience multiple times a day. Now, the one thing I will tell you is a Marine and probably soldiers feel very much the same way. When you're among chaos and danger all the time, it does become very normal. And you're not worried. You're waiting. You're anxious. You're ready. And really, a lot of those guys and gals there are probably thinking, are we really just going to sit here on this flight line and leave? Or are we going to go get Americans and bring them back? Does our commander, is he in line with the general? Is the general in line with the president? That's what I struggle with, is knowing these men and women are having to guess at where their chain of command is at any point on something. That's a lack of leadership. And, man, I tell you what, it makes it real hard to go and bleed for something.
Joey, I want to know what you think of these images that we're seeing of just people packed by the hundreds, by the thousands, up against these various checkpoints at Kabul International Airport, a place that you and I both know from having spent time there. The reality of this seems to be it's impossible that the Biden administration can really claim with a straight face, I mean, as they have, so I guess they've already said this, but it's not true, that we're planning for all contingencies here. I mean, to your eye, when you look at this, doesn't this seem like they just had to throw something together in all-out emergency, or is there more than meets the eye to what's actually happening?
You know, if I told you I was going to burn your house down and there was nothing you could do to stop it, you might spend a day or two getting your stuff out of it so that you're not just grabbing your valuables and running. Right now, we're grabbing our valuables and running, which tells me they were woken up in the middle of the night with the house burning down. If not Biden, then everyone under him that's listening to what he has to say. I think there was a pretty strong contingent that saw something of this nature as a plausibility, if not a probability. But I think if you really understand Joe Biden, he has a way of believing what he wants to be true to be true. I mean, read Bob Gates' book and just hear his reactions to military operations and steps we had to take. He was against the troop surge in Iraq and Afghanistan, both of which were probably the only successful operations bookended that we did. I mean, just to paint the scene for you, I went to Afghanistan in 2010. 2009 and 2010, we surged in, I think it was 40,000 troops, most of them combat element Marines, and we took the Helmand province, which is where it's the Pashtun region, and it's where all the poppy is grown. That is the money pot for the Taliban. We abruptly gave that entire region back to the Taliban because we had an election coming up in 2012 and somebody wanted to claim victory. And that's the problem with American politics meeting a war strategy that takes time to develop. And now we have a place where generals follow the politics more than the strategy because probably they got tired of not being listened to on the strategy. And so now we have a problem where we didn't fight a 20-year war. We fought 10 two-year wars between presidential elections and midterms. And unfortunately, the American people are complicit in this because we reward the people that say the right thing besides maybe the honest thing or the truthful thing or the necessary thing. When we have decided to go after the Taliban, we have kicked their tail twice. But it's an idea, and an idea can grow and live in anyone. So you can kill everyone. And if the idea survives, the effort survives. And that's why we've got people taking Kabul now that didn't even understand the original fight the Taliban had, but they've been in these madrasas in Pakistan and they've been recruited through the mountains, and they just come every spring and they have that many more people to fight, which plays into why is this bad timing.
Joey, we know that the average soldier was a big fan of Donald Trump, right? We see the reactions at the military academies, for instance, whenever he would speak. I mean, it was one of the most stirring moments I can remember from last year's sports season when they had to play Army-Navy in West Point, and Trump walked in there to see the way the cadets and the midshipmen responded to him. What are the young guys and girls in the service, in your mind and based on the people you interact with, thinking of Joe Biden and his administration and his leadership right now?
You know, I had the distinct pleasure of not being a very political person when I was serving. I remember the John McCain, Barack Obama election was the first election I ever paid attention to. And I only cared because that was when I learned about John McCain's prisoner of war experience. And I was just incredibly impacted by that. It's like, here's a man running for president who's, in my world, done the toughest thing to do other than die on the battlefield. But it wasn't the politics of it that made me interested. And I think that in today's world, you don't get that anymore because we all have these cell phones and they're all intimately connected. But if you're serving under a commander-in-chief that doesn't seem to understand which direction he's going from one day to the other, or that can stand on a pulpit, and I call it that because they preach from it, who can stand on a pulpit and tell us there's no way this is going to be that bad, and then days or weeks later it's that bad and worse, then you don't have any faith in him. And at the end of my term, he was vice president, Barack Obama was president. The narrative wasn't specifically against them, but it was they won't let us kill the enemy. They won't let us use air support so that maybe we don't die today. They are more worried about the optics and the headlines than the battle lines. And that was 100% true. They sent us to Afghanistan to die, to try to claim victory before a presidential election, not to win a war. And that's the honest to God's truth of it. And there's no way these 18, 19, 25-year-olds don't have all of that fresh in their mind. I was lucky enough that I didn't really have to do it until I reflected on it. But they joined the service, and now they're serving now in conflict with that fresh in their mind. And there's no way they have – I mean, who has a lot of faith in Joe Biden right now? There's no way our men and women in uniform do.
Joey, thanks so much. But before we let you go, I just got to ask you, man, you were an EOD tech. Of all the – jobs that one could have, the roles that one could have in the military, diffusing active bombs, IEDs, seems like it just requires, to say it requires nerves of steel is an understatement. How did you do that, man? Like, how did you actually, I honestly am in awe of people in the service who could do that job.
I appreciate it. And that's how I felt about the other men and women doing the job. And that's why I wanted to see if I could raise myself to their level of just human being. At the end of the day, for me, I felt like I was going to keep going to war and being around these bombs. I might as well understand them, learn about them, and be the one that gets to make them safe. But it's real quick, the adage I use is it's kind of like walking through the woods with a snake handler. The snake's going to kill both of you if it bites you, but the snake handler has a better chance of not getting bit. And I felt like being an EOD tech, I could do that. I could stop other people from getting bit.
Johnny, really appreciate Johnny Joey Jones here with us, folks. Go check him out on Fox News. Great analysis from him on this critical issue. And, man, we appreciate your service, and we appreciate you joining us here on the show. Thanks so much.
Thank you both.
Clay, we'll come back into some more on the COVID madness that is still sweeping the nation right now as we're getting into the fall season. I think it's going to get worse. Plus, we have, some updates for you on the situation in Afghanistan coming from the administration. But, you know, Clay, it's amazing how many of these testimonials are coming in about relief factor. Heather's a listener in Louisiana, and just like my dad, she's found real relief from her pain because of relief factor. Heather's a police officer in Louisiana, and she's been using relief factor for 2 years now. She says that she knows and feels the difference when she doesn't use it. In her words, quote, "I love relief factor. I know the difference. And when I don't actually use it, and I've been a loyal customer for the last 2 years, I tell everyone about it. I shared my packets with a fellow police officer so he could try them. We love working out and always talk about ways to stay pain-free, Clay."
Yeah, no doubt. And my wife, she trains people. She is in incredible shape herself. But when you're going as hard as you can with all of the training and physicality, you sometimes need to be able to get back, whether it's joint pain, knee, hip, back, shoulder pain. This has been created by doctors, 100% drug-free product. Hundreds of thousands of people have ordered Relief Factor, and about 70% go on to order more. Join the more than 500,000 people and order the three-week quick start for only $19.95. We just got a lot of Relief Factor in for my house because my wife was insistent on continuing to take it. She loves it. It is all natural, and it is going to make you feel better like it makes her feel better. You can get signed up if you go to relieffactor.com now, or you can call 800-4-RELIEF, $19.95, three-week quick start developed for you. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor, feel the difference. Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Our thanks to Joey Jones, who was just with us. Also to Candace Owens, who was with us in the second hour of the program. Encourage you, if you missed both those interviews or either of those interviews, go sign up for the podcast. Search out Clay, search out Buck. You literally just have to type in either of those names, and you will see the podcast and be able to hop right in. We wanted to get to a few of your calls here quickly. Let's go to Janet in Grand Junction, Colorado. Janet, what's up?
Hey, I was just calling to tell you I've got two boys that are currently serving, and I am infuriated by Biden's, you know, attitude towards this whole thing. I feel kind of helpless because who knows, you know, my kids could have to go in and fix this whole mess later. You know, the one in the Navy, I have one in the Air Force, one in the Navy. And
well, thank you for their service. And I can imagine, Janet, that there are a ton of moms and dads all over this country, grandmas and grandpas, that are worried about the incompetence of the Biden administration and the fact that they had to send more soldiers in to try and help get some of our soldiers out. And Buck, you know, as I was just going into this commercial break, you know, Jen Psaki wanted to say that there was nobody that was actually stranded in Afghanistan. Well, the headline right now on The Hill, and this is pretty crazy to think about, is dozens of California students and parents are stranded in Afghanistan after a summer trip abroad. Now, Buck, we can sit here and say, I'm not sure
course,
that that's the place that I want to go
know
for,
yeah, who decides trip. You know, Kabul summer 2021 is the move. But aside from that, we got Americans in harm's way, and we got to, you know, do what we can to get them out. We also want to do what we can to take more of your calls here. We had kind of a tight segment, so I know we got lines lit all over the place. Clay and I will get to that. But we've got a breaking news item about what will be breaking news, so to speak, that you're definitely going to want to know about. And it's going to be a big one, and it's coming up in just a moment here.
That's right. We're going to tell you all about it. But in the meantime, we want you to know that Mike Lindell, he helps take care of all of you with everything that his company brings to bear. But right now, he's got the sell of the year on his Giza Dream Sheets. I just got back from Vegas. And I got to tell you, really expensive sheets in the hotels out in Vegas, nothing compared to what I have in my own house. The Giza Dream Sheets are phenomenal. Made from the world's best cotton. They're ultra soft, breathable, and durable with a luxurious finish, multiple color styles and sizes available. We got them all throughout the Travis household. The boys have it on their beds. We've got it in our beds as well. We love it. And for a limited time, the Giza Dream Sheets are 50% off with the promo code Clay and Buck. All you have to do is go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special to get the Giza Dream Sheets as low as $49.99. It's an incredible offer. All you have to do is use the code Clay and Buck or call 800-792-3269. Do it.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show continues on, flying by today. This is Buck, and we are trying to bring you as up to speed as possible on the catastrophe in Kabul, plus the COVID lockdown, Fauciite madness that is still sweeping the country. And you've got big, big problems, I think, looming ahead here as we get into the colder months. And some of these blue states, like Oregon, which already is seeing extremely high cases, some of the other blue states get hit. So we'll bring up to speed on that. Also, the ad that is up now, the Trump team has released an ad. It's up on clayandbuck.com right now. Very powerful one about what's going on right now in Afghanistan and just how the Biden White House is a disaster. But you got to hear and watch this ad. We'd play it for you on the air, but it's better if you see it. So go to Clay
it's
and
phenomenal.
Buck.
It's phenomenal.
Go to clayandbuck.com for that ad. And this is the breaking news story that I want to tell you guys about because this is going to result in, I think, a lot of conversation all across the country. Thursday, NBC News has an exclusive where Lester Holt is going to interview the Capitol police officer responsible for shooting and killing Ashley Babbitt. So tomorrow, the person, the officer from Capitol Police who killed Ashley Babbitt will come forward. So we'll finally, Clay, know who it is. And also we'll sit down for questions about what happened there. Also noteworthy that they just recently had the United States Capitol Police's Office of Professional Responsibility determined the officer's conduct was lawful. That was just on Monday, an official clearing of him by Capitol Police. Clay, a lot that we're going to dive into when this happens.
Yeah, I'm surprised on this for a couple of levels, Buck. One, this guy's name is not out there. This story otherwise might start to disappear. I know the Democrats are trying to make January 6th seem like an insurrection, and they continue to want to have the hearing and everything else. It's strange to me a bit, after not being public in any way for this long, that he would decide to go public. And it's particularly strange because there is a wrongful death lawsuit that has been filed by Ashley Babbitt's family. So the reason why I bring that up is, when you are dealing with a lawsuit, whatever you say can be used as a statement, as evidence in that lawsuit. And so whatever this Capitol Police officer tells Lester Holt is going to be able to be used by the family of Ashley Babbitt filing the lawsuit. Now, it's different if you've already said everything that you're going to say, but this guy hasn't spoke in any way publicly. And so if I were a lawyer advising him, I would not be advising him to sit and talk with any member of the media. And particularly that's the case when it's not like his name has been dragged through the mud in any way, and he may feel like he needs to speak out in order to reclaim his good name. So far, miraculously, considering how quickly every other police officer's entire political history and work history is known 20 minutes after the shootings occur, this guy hasn't been a public figure yet. So both of those factors to me, when I see this news story, which just broke, which we're discussing about this Capitol Police officer going public, that's what's surprising to me about it.
I also think that there's going to be a lot of, you know, once we know who this person is, and we will in, you know, a little over 24 hours, we can deep dive more into the justification for this shooting. I mean, Capitol Police have said that this was a reasonable, essentially a what they would call a legal shoot, or a, within the
there
bounds
of... There was a life-threatening situation, yeah, according to the Capitol Police, yeah, and he was helping to save lives.
A lawful shoot. And you've got to wonder, this is... So shooting an unarmed woman in the neck through a door... Now, granted, it's a barricaded door. There was a riot going on. There were people who were assaulting law enforcement officers who should be prosecuted and held accountable for violence against police officers, right? We back the blue always, or don't back the blue. But there's a difference in backing the blue and everything that a cop does, or everything that all cops do, is okay. I've never taken that position, Clay. I know you haven't either. There are even, when I was in the NYPD Intel Division, they would talk about perps in uniform, meaning that there are sometimes guys that wear the uniform that act in criminal ways and need to be held accountable for that. But what exactly was... So this officer believed that if this 130-pound unarmed woman got through the door, that she was going to be an imminent threat to the life of the armed Capitol Police officers and members of Congress that were on the other side of the door. I mean, I'd like to dive into this a little bit more, because we see riot conditions frequently across the country. And if a police officer said, "I was scared, so I pulled my gun and shot the person in the neck who was throwing a rock at, you know, riot police," there, if this was a BLM riot, we all know it would be homicide investigation right away.
No doubt.
This cop's life would be ruined
instantly.
But because it's the so-called insurrection, And let's also remember that they lied about an officer being beaten to death with a fire extinguisher for months on the January 6th riot. They lied, the media lied about this for months, which created an environment in the early period of the discussion around this where we said, well, it was a lethal force incident in both directions. No, Clay, this was a lethal force incident in one direction, police against a rioter, in this case, Ashley Babbitt, an unarmed Air Force veteran. That's what ended up happening.
Which is why it's surprising to me, again, that she said that this person, that he's talking to a media member, because he's going to make his name public now. So if there's ever been anything that he's ever done in his background that's questionable, that's the way these things go. The media will investigate. They'll find out if he has anything in his history. And then the second part of this, it's going to be used in a civil court wrongful death deposition civil case against him, right? So everything that he says, he's going to have to stand behind in any sort of eventual deposition or court proceeding surrounding the wrongful death allegations of Ashley Babbitt. So I'm intrigued to see what he is going to say, but if I were his lawyer, I would be telling him to say nothing at all, but he has nothing to gain from this.
Clay, isn't he indemnified because Capitol Police are saying it was a lawful shooting? Is he even able to be sued as an individual? Wouldn't they stand in place for the purposes of that lawsuit?
It's a great question procedurally, because one of the issues that has been argued for a long time is that police officers should be indemnified. The reality is most police officers, Buck, don't have very much in terms of assets. So I always think that's a little bit of a flawed logic. In other words, the reason you sue a police officer is not to try to take money from him or her typically. It's to compel testimony and figure out what actually happened. The person who's going to have to pay is the larger entity.
The federal government or the pockets that you want to get into for a lawsuit like this.
So,
but is the suit really, is it against him as individual in his personal capacity, or is it against him with Capitol Hill Police standing? I mean, we might have to dig into this a little bit, but that would make a big difference.
Well, he wouldn't have, I think you're right, that he would not, in theory, have personal liability.
Right.
But again, the average police officer might have $150,000 in assets, right? Most police officers are not independently wealthy. So the reason why you would be filing the lawsuit is to go after the larger entity. But I think, and this is what I said when the lawsuit was filed, and look, I'm not an expert. I don't know Ashley Babbitt's family. But I think the reason that they are filing this wrongful death lawsuit is to find out what really happened, not necessarily for the monetary aspects of this. Because the story of what happened to her has mostly been covered up.
Well, I also
why she was shot.
I think they want to get ahead of that event, of that eventuality, Clay, because there's obviously very, very troubling political dynamics at work with all of this, whereby I think it's clear that if Ashley Babbitt had different politics, this would have been treated very differently by the Department of Justice, by Capitol Hill Police, by
any entity
involved here. And it's all part of what is used as a demonization of Trump supporters in general. We are all the insurrectionists now. It was not an insurrection. Not a single person has been charged with rebellion or insurrection by the federal government from January 6th because they know they would fail. They are being charged with assault on police officer, destruction of property, and trespassing and obstructing a government proceeding. That happens with leftists under BLM or Antifa or whatever the banner is of the moment all the time. And we see lots of district attorneys deciding not to press charges, bare minimum, slap on the wrist. We also have a situation, Clay, where sometimes the city of New York, for example, other cities have done the same thing. They'll pay out some massive either wrongful death suit or they'll pay out some wrongful imprisonment suit based upon the political winds of the moment, not even a court proceeding. They'll just get ahead of it and say, oh, we're sorry, take all of our money because, you know, we don't want BLM to get mad at us. That actually happens now.
It happens all the time.
It's not happening with this case, that's for sure. They're going to fight this. The government will fight the Ashley Babbitt lawsuit to the end. Because
if Ashley Babbitt, I think it's a great point by you, if Ashley Babbitt had died in a BLM lawsuit, BLM protest, we would have known the shooter instantaneously, and she would have been a martyr. Instead, Many people out there on the left have said she deserved what happened to her. We'll find out the story evidently tomorrow as we continue to chase it down. But in the meantime, got to tell you, you could save up to $12,000 a year. What could $12,000 a year mean to your family? $1,000 a month, the lowest mortgage rates that have ever existed. You've got to get on the phone and call our friends at American Financing. 800-777-8109. 800-777-8109. Visit AmericanFinancing.net. Put your financial house in order. Buck and I have done it. You need to as well. NMLS 182334. NMLSconsumeraccess.org. Again, grab those phones, up to $12,000 for you. All you have to do is call 800-777-8109. That's 800-777-8109. American Financing will hook you up today. Welcome back in. Final segment of the show, Wednesday edition. I'm Clay Travis. He is Buck Sexton. We appreciate all of you hanging out with us. It's been a loaded show. We have talked about a ton of different topics. Great guests, Candace Owens and Joey Jones. Appreciate both of them swinging by. Encourage you to go check out the podcast to ensure that you don't miss a single moment of today's program. You can search it out. All you have to do is type in Clay or Buck on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, anywhere out there. We also always want to thank all of our affiliate stations. We appreciate all of you rolling with us every day. Loaded show coming tomorrow, giving you a little bit of a preview. Kristi Noem, the governor, will be on with us in the second hour at 105 Eastern, and then at 205 Eastern, we'll be joined by Lara Logan from Fox News. She's been a tremendous journalist and on the ground reporter for much of her career. We'll see what she thinks about Afghanistan and more. But we've had a ton of you waiting to hop in the show and be able to weigh in on a variety of different topics. Who do you think we should go to, Buck?
Rob in Kingston, New Hampshire. What's up, Rob?
Hey, guys. Thanks for doing everything you can do. I'll get this in there quick. I want to give you a different perspective on everything happening in the world today, the country, the world, and everything. Okay? I'm totally convinced this is not, they're not mistakes, they're planned. And what I mean by that is, we know that Biden's not running that White House. Everybody knows that. You're an idiot if you don't. Okay? So now let's start looking at how they do it, the mechanism. We know Democrats create crises to pretend to solve them. Okay? So let's look at Afghanistan. All right? How do you hand the Middle East over to the Muslim Brotherhood? You create the crisis to do it. How do you hand Iran the weapons? You create the crisis to do it. How do you make the American people feel all warm and fuzzy about importing 1 million Muslims and getting our Americans back by handing the Taliban $1 billion on a pallet? You create the crisis to pretend to solve it.
I appreciate that, Rob. I understand the argument.
Yeah.
I think it's more incompetence than it is intentionality. That's my theory. Everybody can have a different opinion, but I think it's incompetence.
I think we should always assume that if it's a choice between Biden is playing 4D chess and Biden doesn't know what the pieces on the board are called or look like, go with door number two, in my mind, for the most part. I'm not saying always, but I don't think they're sophisticated enough to plan out disasters that they're actually, these things are occurring because of the philosophy that Democrats have in general about the U.S. role in the world, the history of U.S. intervention in the Middle East and South Asia, and the Biden administration having a bunch of faculty lounge, pompous, arrogant,
eggheads. The reason why we're trying to get out by August 31st is not some grand plan, I don't believe, to create major chaos in the Middle East. It's so Joe Biden on September 11th, the 20th anniversary, could claim, hey, look, I finally ended this war.
Look at
what I was able to do.
I've been meaning to say for the last couple of days here, Clay, by the middle of September, maybe even sooner than that, the Biden administration line on this, unless we have Americans who, you know, I didn't want to say that we all know what could happen here. Unless that happens, God forbid, the Biden administration line will be that while it wasn't easy, this was the brave thing, the right thing, the logistics didn't matter, and he should, get ready for it, be praised Biden should be praised for what happened in Afghanistan here. I can almost guarantee it. Get ready for it.
I think you're right. I think there's going to be a lot of argument about that. Mike in Oklahoma, veteran, what you got for us, Mike?
No, we don't have Mike.
Gone?
We got Tim in San Diego, California. Tim, what have you got for us?
Clay and Buck, great to speak to you. Hey, I'm a retired Navy veteran, 26 years, and very proud of it. My beautiful wife had a great idea, and for Jen Psaki, I think a great name for her would be Jihad Jen.
I mean, there's a lot of good nicknames for Jen Psaki, but the one that is the best, I think, was the it was a long one, right? It was I've forgotten what it was.
It was a good one. We'll find it. We'll put it up on clayandbuck.com.
That's where we will. And you need to go check out that video. Donald Trump and his crew put up an incredible video just destroying Joe Biden and the first 8 months of his administration. It doesn't sound great on radio, or we would play it, because there's obviously tremendous video accompaniment with the ad. That's the foundation of it. But it is phenomenal. You need to go check it out if you haven't already seen it at clayandbuck.com.
This is also where we're seeing, I think, that not just Trump, but the Trump messaging machinery that is going to be brought to bear starting around this fall and going into the midterm election. I know a lot of you have missed it. I missed the tweets, including the mean ones at this point. I would take all of them. First of all, the mean ones were the funniest ones, let's be honest. Second of all, Trump has been a little bit quiet in the background on this stuff, but I think he's going to be back out there, and there'll be an energy and enthusiasm for the backlash against Bidenism that it gets me excited, Clay. I got to get excited about something in politics these days.
My favorite nickname from you guys for Jen Psaki, Little Red Lying Hood. It's hard to remember, but that is a hell of a phrase when you read it.
We got some great guests for you tomorrow. Governor Kristi Noem of South Dakota on why she won't protect people in her state from vaccine mandates. I'm going to ask her some real ones on that. Plus, we've got Lara Logan, Fox News, and Clay and I going to make sense of all the madness. Talk to you tomorrow.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.